Star, repeater.
Good evening.
The time is 6:57 p.m. at W2AKR, repeater.
Good evening.
KC2AWX.
W2AKR, repeater.
Good evening.
The time is 7:33 p.m. at W2AKR, repeater.
This is N2OEL, mobile listening.
W2TTT, N3CRT.
W2AKR, repeater.
Good evening.
The time is 7:54 p.m. at W2AKR, repeater.
This is WB2HIE listening.
W2AKR, repeater.
Good evening.
The time is 8:23 p.m. at W2AKR, repeater. W2AKR, repeater.
NS2K.
NS2K, W2TTT.
Hey, sounds like you are there.
Westchester. It's normally a two-handed drive down where I'm driving at the Met. If you could run the net, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay.
I would really appreciate it. It's just not a happening thing. I'm engaged in active conversation with a colleague from work, and it's really like a two-handed exercise to drive down this road, I gotta tell you.
What do you want, the merit, or have you graduated beyond that?
No, I'm on 87.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like New York.
This is NS2K. And we have our 9 o'clock Barra Thursday evening technical net. This is it. As you hear, Gordon is still in transit from work. He had a little bit of a remote this evening. Let me drop it.
W2TTT.
Yeah, very good, Gordon. He is... not available quite yet. I'm sure he'll contribute. I'm sure he'll have some things to contribute. But at least for now, I will do the net control thing. This is NS2K as K2BAR. Anyway, let's see. This net is open for discussion of any technical matter that might be of concern to hams. And of course it's open to all hams, regardless of whether they're Barra members or not. We would like to thank the BCFMA. For those of you who are new to the area and don't know BCFMA, they would very much appreciate your joining to help support the repeater. We use this repeater on Wednesday evening at 9 o'clock for a general Barra discussion, and we use the 443-100 repeater, also owned by BCFMA, on Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. for another net. Let me drop it. And every day, I'm sure, would really appreciate your joining. If you have not already done so, I know there's a lot of co-membership with Barra, BCFMA, and Fairlawn, together very nicely. In any case, the other net, of course, is on Monday evening that Barra hosts, usually Jim Joyce, on 28350 at 9 p.m. In any case, would like to have some sign-ins here. I hear Gordon. I will sign him up, whether he really wants to or not. If you have a question, please say if you have a question, not the question up front. We'll collect those all later. But let's start off with anyone starting with a call sign, starting with A, if you would. Oh, that's a good one. How about the K's? Do we have some K's this evening?
Yes, this is K2ZO.
K2ZO. Anybody else?
KC2ORX. It's listening out.
KC2ORX. There was another call behind. Thank you, David. Okay, who's next?
KC2AWX, name's Harvey. No questions.
Very good, Harvey. Okay, next.
2AMI, Tony. No questions.
Thank you, Tony. Next.
K2ZB, no questions.
Thank you, Dick. Okay, anybody else? Okay, let's go to the ends, if we could. Ends.
N2, with two questions.
Okay, I did. You have a question? Very good.
No, I have two questions.
Ooh, double dipper. Okay, any other ends?
November 3, Charlie, Romeo Tango, no questions.
Thank you, Charlie. Anybody else?
NJ1W, Dave, no questions.
Thank you, Dave. And more N's? Okay, let's move to the W's.
W4DSA, Daniel, no questions tonight.
Very good, Daniel. Anybody else?
W2JEK, Don, no question.
Okay, Don, and more.
W2DDD.
That was W2DDD, was it, as in David?
Negative. W2DDD is a Victor, Victor, Victor. Name is Tim. No question.
Okay. Triple V. Victories all over the place here, Tim. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, very good. Anybody else that we might have missed along the way? Okay, well, let's start with Noel, being the source of the questions for the evening, and hopefully some other folks will come up with one or incite more discussion as we go along. We'll pass it to Noel. This is K2BAR.
K2BAR and 2OYL. Two questions, both concerning antennas and so forth. I have a G5RV. As you know, I've been having troubles working on 10 meters at 28350. So I had put four ferrites on them. They're white plastic case. There's two cores, they clip on, they fit very nicely around the RGA-X. I borrowed the tin analyzer, and of course I had put these on several weeks ago. So, question number one. I picked the thing off the back of the tuner, the table. I'm looking at the ferrites, and believe it or not, they have sticky labels on them. Sticky labels point in one direction, which would be along the cable. I'm wondering if they have a hand. Should I put it one way or the other? Does it matter on a ferrite core? That's question number one. Question number two, on 28350, my SWR is 13.9 to 1 on the G5RV. The Is that normal? Is that abnormal? Is it, I think it's out of range from my antenna tuner. That's my questions. Back to Nick and to OEO.
Anybody have any suggestions here?
Yeah, I do. This is K2ZO.
I was hoping you'd kick in here.
Very good.
And go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Noel, the G5RV that you're using, how many feet of feed line do you have? I know you have probably approximately 34 feet of open wire coming down, but how many feet of coax do you have from that point to your radio?
I currently have 100 feet with no BALUN, however you pronounce it. Gene made me a piece of RG8X, good quality stuff, 67 feet long, and I'm currently in the process of attaching ferrite chokes to the end of it for a total of 24 ferrite chokes. That's what I intend to do next week. My question was about this one. Is this normal, abnormal? Is it 100 foot of a feed line?
It's not uncommon to see extremely high SWRs. The problem that you have is that your antenna is extremely reactive at that frequency. When you used the bridge, did you notice that there was a significant reactance figure?
I wrote everything down. 28350, R equals 29, X equals 68, SWR 13.9, L equals 0.381 millihenries, C equals 82 picofarads.
The X sub C is what?
X equals 68.
Okay, well, that's part of your problem right there. For example, if the resistance was only 29 and you had no reactants, your SWR would only be 2 to 1. The answer is, I do not believe the measurements that you made, you may have been very careful in doing them, but the problem is that the device you're using does not work on extremely reactive antennas. I know that because I have one.
That's nothing. You should see the numbers I got when I tried it on 1.8.
Can you put an additional piece of wire on your antenna?
SWR greater than 25.
Can you put an additional piece of wire on your antenna? In other words, you've got a... I assume that you're using a 20-meter G5RV, 102 feet?
102 feet. Luckily, at the last HamFest, I bought a 160-meter antenna to use on 160. I am not going to attempt to use this thing on 160. Supposedly, it'll work on 40. Let's see. And supposedly it'll work on 80. On 80, 3.5 megahertz, the resistance 14, X is 29, SWR is 5.9.
Okay, well that makes sense. Can you put another dipole attached to the top of the antenna?
Yes, I could put several if I wanted to.
Okay, try this. Your antenna is 102 foot long, which is a 3/2 waves on 20 meters. The 3/2 wavelength on 20 meters is extremely high reactance on 10 meters. Make another dipole, or make two pieces of wire, so that the length is 51 feet, and attach them to the same feed line point, and guess what? It'll work on 10.
In other words, each half will be 25 and a half feet.
Uh-huh, and it'll be 3/2 on 10 meters, and that will work very well. And what will happen is that when you tune it up, the power will go into that section of the antenna rather than the other, because it'll be a much better match.
While I'm at it, should I be adding any more pieces of wire? I might as well get everything done at the same time.
No, don't add any more wire. That antenna will work on 80 meters because it's close to being an 80-meter antenna. It's not going to work very well on 160, but it will work on 80 meters, and it'll work on all the other bands. So stick a total of a 51 feet and divide that into two, and on either side, and try that, and I'll bet you it'll work fine on 10.
Okay. J20 into OEM.
W2BBB.
Go ahead, Jim.
Noel, just in terms of your first question, it's a pretty quick and straightforward answer. Ferrite beads, it's consisted of just a magnetic core, and in the field of fields and waves, they call typical materials homogeneous, being that they're the same material throughout. And ferrite cores, in particular magnetic cores, are typically isotropic, which means that it has the same properties regardless of which direction you use. It's just meant to keep the magnetic field within the core itself. So you can pop those on in either direction. There's no particular orientation for it. This is W2BBB.
Then they may have just stuck those little circle of dots with an arrowhead point on it, for some other reason. Have no idea what, but these were surplus. They were like 29 cents a piece from electronics parts surplus, and they were, reasonably decent. That price is hard to beat, and to OEM.
Another question on that. Are these one-piece cores, or are they split cores, or how big are they? Tell me about them.
They're about an inch long. They're in a plastic housing. The housing came in the open position, and I just snap them on.
Yeah, perhaps Jim or Tim, you could correct me, but it seems that, especially with a split core, two cores is nowhere near enough, especially at the lower frequencies, to give you a balance. Jim, you want to give that a stab?
Yeah, this is K20. And, I forgot to answer the other question that Tim answered, that the cores, it doesn't matter which direction. You have coax going to the open wire line, and all you're doing is clipping on the ferrite cores. So basically what you're making is a one-to-one balun, a current balun. And if you've only got two cores on there, you ain't even close. If you're using those type of cores, which are probably number 43 material, you need to put about 10 of them on there.
I have 24. In fact, I had so heavy that I'm putting up a second antenna rope just to hold the cores.
Okay, well that pretty much will choke off most of the RF. You don't have any RF problems, do you?
That hasn't been installed yet. What I'm looking at is the previous installation where I put four on, and that didn't work.
When you say it didn't work, what do you mean?
My antenna tuner, the automatic one, just chokes on 10 meters. The AT200 Pro auto tuner, it doesn't like it.
Yeah, I have one here. The reason that it is choking is that it's out of the range that it can tune. And adding additional cores on that coax is not going to change the reactance of the antenna that you're seeing. All that's going to do is choke off any currents on the outside of the shield, which do cause problems for the AT200. I can tell you that from experience. So it's a good idea to do that, but you're not going to change the reactance of the antenna putting those cores on.
I know, but the first suggestion was that currents flowing down the outside of the coax is what drives both the IC740 and the AT200 crazy. Bear in mind, I was on the net using the MFJ Versa Tuner 2 and the Kenwood 530SP. That has no problems whatsoever. It's happy as can be. It's the solid-state stuff that doesn't like this.
Yeah, well, if you put that other dipole on there, I think you'll find that that will work all right. In retrospect, instead of fooling around with a G5RV, a 4080 dipole fed with open wire line is probably a better choice, but either way.
That'll be next year's antenna project. Thank you, and to OEO.
Yeah, sounds good. And, yeah, another suggestion, if I see you tomorrow night, I normally have some other single-piece cores in the back of the car, which you're very welcome to, that I bought at a ham fest for a pretty good price. I've offered them before, and anybody who thinks they need some, I have some that are free for anybody who would like. See me at any of the Bear events or Fairlawn or Kit Night when that restarts here in another couple of weeks. But just let me know. Okay, any other questions here? It sounds like we've done a pretty good job with this one.
WB7ABF.
Go ahead.
Yeah, excuse me for tuning in. Here, WB7ABF here in Manhattan. The discussion of antennas.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment, maybe get some advice. I'm at Washington Heights here. I'm running a 140-foot dipole, which is fed with TV twin lead. TV twin lead, which goes directly into the MFJ tuner. And I don't have any RFI problems in this neighborhood because everyone has cable TV and whatnot, but I was wondering, how could I improve upon this setup? I don't have any complaints, but everyone talks about ferrite beads and whatnot. Is there any purpose in having ferrite beads? By the way, the TV twin lead section of the antenna itself is 40 feet long, and it goes up to the rooftop, and the antenna is a flat top dipole. WB7ABF.
Any suggestions, Jim or Tim?
Okay, if it works fine, leave it alone. The only thing that the ferrites on the antenna coax, which leads to the open wire line, will do is, of course, stop some of the RF. I had an interesting antenna when I was in college and lived in an apartment, and what I did was I took two pieces of TV coax, the 75 ohm coax, and I made a 150 ohm feed line. And I paralleled up the two pieces of coax, let the shields float up at the antenna, grounded the shields down in the bottom, and that solved my RFI problem because I had a balanced feed line, and it worked very well. You know, maybe a little bit more lossy than open wire, but boy, it sure worked and solved the problems that I had.
Fine, that sounds like what I probably have here, not in the back side, the piggyback 75 ohm version you have there, but it's basically, you know, TV twin lead. One question would be grounding, quote unquote grounding, or RF ground. What I'm running here, I have a three number eight wires that are just kind of packed onto my radiator here, the radiator. I know that's not a true RF ground, but I'm not going to set the boiler on fire. It's an old building, and it seems to offer some counterpoise activity. I've not analyzed it, but it works okay. And I may be able to load this guy up on 160 meters. You know, I don't work, you know, farther than the Midwest, but it seems to be working, and I'll take your words of advice. Folks have recommended inverted Vs and other things. I'll have to talk to the landlord, but in summary, what I'm using is an off-center fed dipole. You know, it's 60-40 is the ratio with the twin lead. It's up about 90 feet, and it's working good. So I appreciate the comments made here and any technical advice that I can glean from you guys, not being a highly proficient technical person myself anymore. So with that, WB7ABF passes it back.
W2DVV.
Go ahead, Tim.
Just one suggestion that might help you out there. When you mentioned that you were tied to a radiator, typically radiator systems are closed systems, meaning that they don't penetrate outside the boiler system. If you're going to pull water pipes, it's better off having a better grounding for the outboard.
Some noise in the signal there, my friend. Didn't pick up your call sign either. WB7ABF. Could you come back with that again? Sounded interesting.
This is W2 Victor, Victor, Victor. Name is Tim, Tango and D-Mike. And I was just suggesting that
I've heard of people getting better performance, and it's essentially what you're doing when you're tying to a radiator. Most radiators are supposed to be hot water is originating from the furnace. Coming through the radiator and going back to the radiator first. That's being reheated and recycled. But the problem is that's a closed system. You're not getting it through ground. So if you can attach to a cold water pipe or possibly even a drain pipe, you'd be getting more of effective grounding because it actually goes under the ground, especially in Manhattan up there.
Okay, Whiskey 2, Victor, Cam here, Rob, Romeo, October, Bravo, WB7ABF. I picked up the gist of that. My thoughts, were that it's a floating ground system, kind of like a floating RF ground. So maybe I could improve upon it. I've even tried running radials around the apartment. This is one of those railroad-style apartments, and having a couple 66-foot wires, but it creates weird current loops and stuff. But I may try what you're saying by running the wire up to the ventilation pipe on the roof or something like that, if it really were to offer improvement. But right now with this dipole setup, unplugging myself and lightning storms, I seem to do pretty good, but I want to improve it. Incidentally, gentlemen, I use an inverted L on 160 sometimes in the wintertime, which is like a 90-foot wire. I don't know why it works, hooking up to the radiator there, Tim, and it does pretty darn good for what I got. 100 watts out, an old-time rig. Anyway, won't tie it up. This is Rob, Romeo October Bravo, WB7ABF. Thanks a lot, Tim, W2BBB. Back to the control.
Yeah, this is NS2K as K2BAR, not control. Yeah, very good, and thank you, Tim and Jim and Rob. And generally the cold water pipe would do a little better. Of course, neither is exactly ideal, but at least if it's a in an older building, I don't know if it would be copper or steel pipe. Obviously copper would be a little better. But steel will work too. Mostly you're going to drain off a little bit of high voltage. It's not going to withstand any kind of a direct strike. So yes, definitely disconnecting during non-use times is a really good idea. The other little thing that I caught was you don't want to run that twin lead too close to large metallic objects like another duct or something. It should be isolated from that as much as possible, so you don't tend to couple into that other metal and upset your balance and otherwise upset. And as far as I know, beads would not be appropriate to put on a balance line, only on coax, where you might have an unbalanced or balanced antenna and an unbalanced transmission line. In this case, it's more or less balanced, sort of balanced. Actually, it's not really balanced because it's going to have a different balance at every frequency. Should be interesting.
W2AKR repeater.
That or Noel's questions or any other questions?
IGJ.
Go ahead.
This is KC2 IGJ John. Not an antenna question, but I have I'm fooling around with basic electronics, trying to get up to speed on some stuff. And I'm at differential amplifiers, playing with this would be the two discrete transistors, like two N3904s. That's a differential amplifier. And so I can set it up with a tail resistor plus or minus 15 supplies, or with a current source or current sink instead of the tail resistor. What I'm a little puzzled about is making sort of a function generator where I can purposely generate a common mode and a differential signal together. And I'm looking for a couple of simple ideas, possibly audio frequency type stuff, so that I could play around with it and examine common mode rejection ratio and whatnot. So I wonder if anybody has an idea of a simple function generator that could generate that. Maybe, a couple of twin T circuits mixed together, or multivibrator into a multivibrator or something.
What sort of frequencies are you looking for?
This is simply, you know, proof of concept, so audio frequency is fine. I have an audio frequency function generator that will go to, let's say, 100 kilohertz. I have a couple of, you know, homebrew, like a Twin T oscillator and things like that are at fixed frequencies. And, you know, I could cobble up some kind of breadboard thing. So I could do something like that. But it was, you know, audio up to 100K is fine.
Anybody have any suggestions on that? Okay.
I guess I can give it a shot.
Go ahead.
Well, the idea of a differential amplifier is that yeah, you're getting a differential signal, being that if a, say you have two leads that are carrying your signal, if they both are affected equally by the same signal, being random noise, any type of electrostatic interference, that the difference between the two signals will subtract out the noise that's on there. So I remember a simple experiment that I tried when I was first playing around with differential amplifiers was simply running a very long wire carrying some audio signal that you generate, whether from an audio function generator or some music or whatever it is, and then running it around a either like a compressor or you know, washing machine motor, you know, something that you're not going to, of course, hurt yourself or electrocute yourself while, you know, because of the getting near the connections, but any type of large voltage generator, anything that's making a lot of noise, maybe around your computer chassis, basically anything that you can start generating noise on just a non-differential signal, and then try sending it through a differential amplifier, and you'll be surprised how much of the noise it'll cancel out a lot of the times, because it is common mode and it's affecting both signal carrying conductors equally.
Okay, Tim, that's Tim, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, Tim, that sounds like an excellent idea. It's low cost. Now, would you just use like make sure they're not shielded wires, so just a pair of you know, pieces of hookup wire, wrapping it around it so that you can definitely couple in the nasties.
Yeah, well, what you want to do, first, you would want, I would say, a perfect type of wire to use for this type of experiment would be like a zip cord, you know, like any type of wire or a cable where the two wires are parallel to each other, two conductors are parallel to each other. You don't want any twisted pair of wires. Twisted pair wires are, you know, they're meant to help cancel out the type of interference. So any type of zip cord, and I would recommend not using the primary hookup wire. You could, if you were to take the two wires together,
the gist of that. Your basic idea was a zip cord, no twisted pair, since that's supposed to combat this technique anyway, etc. So that's perfect. I have a few pieces of zip cord around somewhere. Makes perfect sense. And I really love the idea. It's very simple. And I can check that out, and I'll report back next week on how that worked out.
All right, very good. I think I used a box fan or an air conditioner back when I did it, and I used a few different noise sources to really try it. Basically, any type of poorly electrically insulated noise source should do the trick. So if you know, the thinner the wires, the better, because they're more likely to be affected by a signal in the area. This is W2VVV.
WCVVV, this is KC2IGJ. Beautiful idea, thanks very much, and I think that's going to work like a charm. Back to net.
Excellent, very good. NS2K is K2BAR. Yeah, the I was poking around for it. I didn't see what I was looking for, but for years there used to be a chip of 3085, so I don't remember what the numbers are anymore. multi-function function generator, multi-waveform function generator, and it's been written up in QST and various other places many, many times with various circuits, and I'm sure you can find something on the net. But it's a nice, easy way to make something that will run from sub-audible up through, I think they'll go up to like a megahertz or something, with minimum parts and not very much cost. Diff amps and differential inputs and outputs are the mainstay of any professional audio system because of the wonderful common mode rejection functionality of any diff in circuit. For years and years, they were transformer input, but those are big and heavy and tend to have undesirable characteristics. So the solid state stuff nowadays is really well taken over the whole diff in market. And of course, diff out are dual balanced mirrored output sections. Those tend to be easier. They don't have to be quite as perfectly balanced. But the input stuff, of course, is a real problem. Let me drop it. But it's amazing if you have a proper differential input circuit how much noise and garbage you can not pick up while still getting very good sensitivity and noise figures and so on for differential mode signals like what you really want, such as a microphone or whatever the source might be. Anyway, there's a lot of magic and a lot of experience out there, and you can pick up most anything off the internet, and very good sources of material. I'm amazed that more stuff is not done in balanced, at least in discrete circuitry. It does take a few more parts, but they tend to be very much more stable over temperature and balance of parts and so on. Anyway, always fun. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
W2TTT. I hope nobody missed me. I just want to make sure nobody missed me. You did a fine job, Jim. For a little I hurt. Thank you. It's a very nice conversation. And thank you for picking up the net tonight. I heard a little bit of Jim's first answer to the first question. I heard a little bit of the last from Tim and you and others. My rider is off, but I'm now off to go on an errand. So, pardon me. So, anyway, needless to say, everything was hunky-dory, and I just want to thank you for running the net.
Yeah, very good, Gordon. Oh, 8038, I finally saw it. Right here in Google, of course. Yeah, and chance here. Any more check-ins or questions? Very good. Well, let me repeat the speech here a little bit. This is NS2K as K2BAR net control. Would like to thank the BCFMA for the use of the repeater, and we've had a nice little conversation. A few more questions. Actually, we had some good assortment of questions, and like to invite folks to come back next week. Let's see. I don't think we've got a kit night this coming week, but what, first week in October? Is that correct, Jim?
Yeah, that's correct. No kit night this week.
And of course, also the first Sunday in October, we'll have a BERA meeting in Ridgewood. And, of course, everyone is invited to that. I don't know what the program is yet, but it's almost always interesting. We'll have something good one way or the other. Anyway, I wish to thank everyone for participating. Had a very nice assortment here. And wishing everybody a good week. And come on back next week. This is NS2K as K2BAR. Have a good evening.
NS2K, this is W2BBB.
Yes,
That's okay. Yeah, Jim, I never realized how close you lived to me. I always wondered who that ham was across from the diner.
Uh-oh. Where are you?
I'm right down off Madison.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I get a kick. About the only time I have caused any interference with the neighbors here is on 10 meters. I end up talking to my next-door neighbor's wireless phone, and I've offered to help her with that, but she finds it interesting, so I don't know. It must be a boring life. Anyway, yeah, very good, and need to see you at more events here. This is good.
Yeah, I would like to see more people younger than me at the batter meetings, because that way when I hit 50, I can join the old farts association and have adequate replacements for the rest of the folks, you know what I'm saying here, that I've done this job for 30 plus years, but next year I won't be able to be part of the youth brigade anymore. So Tim, we expect you and Charlie and others to fill in the youth brigade so as to at least have some incidental reduction in the average age of the membership.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, like I said, I have my my EMT commitment on Sunday nights, unfortunately, but we are training a new guy, so as soon as he's a senior member, I can pull off that first Sunday for a few hours to go to the meetings. Unfortunately, Ridge was a little too far away from Dumont.
You can always have Bergenfield take your calls. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah, we try not to.
I've seen the logs both ways. It's pretty horrendous.
Yeah, unfortunately, it affects everybody equally nowadays, it seems.
Yep. If I volunteered to be a member of the ambulance corps, my wife would skin me. Jim, can you imagine if I was a first aider and my son John is in front of me? I suspect if you picked up almost anything else, she'd probably skin you. Yeah, well, it's probably true. So I assume you had good success here with your field trip?
Yes, I did. In fact, I did. It was very nice. I can't go into many details, but the purpose of the exercise was to go to Connecticut, which is an AT&T territory, to see how their broadband UVerse, which is a video telephony and internet offering, goes in, how it works, how it's serviced, and I was very impressed. I mean, very impressed. I've seen Fios, but there's some things about this that really impressed me, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, one of these days we might have Fios available in my neighborhood. They haven't wired this side of the street yet, although they have wired the other side of the street. I suppose a different bribe to be paid. only sort of a joke, unfortunately. But, it would be nice to have some competition for the C folks.
Well, let me tell you, I was in Fairfield County, and that's who the target is. And they are not happy about it. You should see the advertising. The advertising that they're rolling out against AT&T is far snarlier and nastier than what they roll out against Verizon. It's very interesting. I don't know why that is, but it is.
Yeah, of course, Cablevision is advertising on themselves very heavily. Trying to keep people away from satellite and other alternate services before either data or TV service. But, it is... competition can be nice sometimes.
I would agree. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't gotten that yet, but... I use Cablevision here so far. I haven't, although I have plenty of friends that use Fios.
So far, most everybody that I know is on Cablevision. Not too many others. And actually, from a data service,
standpoint is not bad. I realize compared to some other countries, it's pretty slow. But compared to other things available here, it's really quite good.
Oh yeah, I mean the main reason why I don't why I stay away from Fios, one is that it actually ends up costing you a lot more than cable, even though they advertise it quite the opposite, being that you need a box for every single TV. You know, for cable, I can have the box to get the digital channels, the I/O channels, but I don't need it to get the basic cable on the other TVs, which is just fine for me. And the other big thing is the 2-year contract is not something I'm willing to get into.
They're all out there to lock you in as long as possible. Hopefully the real terms of service don't degrade too badly during that period. Of course, any of those contracts are extremely lopsided, and they're pretty much free to do anything they want, and we're free to enjoy whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah, that's why I stuck with Cablevision. No contract with them.
Yeah, and generally the video service. I also have the phone service from them as well. I wasn't supposed to tell Gordon that, I don't think. Anyway, but they, and that actually works, so I can't complain. I've only had one or two minor outages here in the last couple of years, so not a whole lot of complaints there.
Only two, you're doing pretty good.
Well, part of the trick is I've got a UPS on my modem here, so it will go for quite a while before my end loses power. Whether some other spot along the line loses power is another issue.
Yeah, this is Charlie N3CRT. Just for a note, we had 16 check-ins tonight, so pretty good. And you did just fine for the last-minute cover there. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. You know someone with Fios now, because I have Fios.
Ah, very good. Yeah, and thank you again. And thanks for participating. And we have some good people with good answers, too.
And hey, Gordon. W2TTTN3CRT.
Yeah, it sounds like he might be mid-mission here. He jumped in a few minutes ago and checked out. I'm sure he'll be back before too long, but at the moment, sounds like he's not with us, and that's too gay.
Okay, I just wanted to let him know that my the hole for my tower is now 3 feet by maybe 3.5 feet laterally, and it's 4 feet deep at least. I took my 48-inch drywall square, and I could drop it right in the hole, and it went below the grade line, so I did that when it was dark out, so I just was trying to check. I hauled a nice 60-pound boulder out of the bottom, and that was when I was just about done, so it was the last thing I found in the hole.
Hauling a 60-pound boulder out, yeah, it may just be the last thing, anyway, at least for the evening. No, it's, no, we went through a bunch of foolishness here today with a new refrigerator, and preparing for that. And I found, unfortunately, last night that I had a bit of a drip. I didn't tighten up the some of the fittings at my pre-filter quite enough. So that's going to be a project coming up. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm just too tired. But, legging boulders out of the ground, yeah, that would slow you down a little bit. And hopefully there aren't too many more of those little lovelies.
I think I'm just about at the final depth there. I'm only gonna go up about 30 feet, and I'm gonna guy it toward the top. And I'm also, I think I'm down far enough. I'll probably undercut a little bit there at the bottom, like Gordon wanted me to. But that's for another day. When you're standing in a hole, you don't have anywhere to bring the shovel up here. You're trying to hoist the shovel full at a time out of the hole. It gets tough.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously it does is a good thing. It'll give considerably more strength. And the 3 feet, I know in Crestgill here, for a pier, for instance, for a porch or something, they want at least 3 feet so that you're not going to be heaved around too much with frost. So 3 feet sounds like a good number for the base of the hull.
Yeah, that part's 4 feet, so I should be doing fine. And all right, I'm gonna check out and say goodnight to everybody. And it was nice, a nice short net, but we have other nights, and looking forward to getting to a kit night. I agreed to build a satellite, one of my satellite interfaces, the rotor controller interface for my friend at, I forget his call sign now. It's another W3. He works at the airport with me. So, 73 guys, I'll catch you later. N3CRT.
Very good. N3CRT, W2TTT, and W2VVV, and I'm not sure who else. I guess that's it. Anyway, I'm just about whipped here and need to complete my entries and get them from paper onto the computer, and then I'm going to hit the hay. So please have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you soon at one of these events. Probably going to see if I can get down to Fairlawn tomorrow, see how they've done. We had a little cable pull last weekend, and was a pretty good success. We had some good help with that, and see if they've had a chance midweek here to tie some of that off and terminate the cables and put up the additional lightning protection and all that good stuff. Anyway, have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you soon. This is NS2K.